You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for January 19th, 2016, and episode number 249. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. That's going to be an interesting week of news tonight, as this week's news includes the plot deepens for the Loch Ness Monster, strange things afloat in Paraguay, the wow signals mystery widens, strange sounds aloof in a New Jersey neighborhood, the book of the week, and a whole lot more. And we're going to end up talking about the X-Files later on in the show. So if you're a big fan of the X-Files, you're excited about the new season coming out this weekend, stay tuned, because we're going to jump into that a little bit later on in the show. And as always, got to do a little bit of politics and talking and chit-chat, whatever people want to call it, before I jump in with both feet to the news. And as always, I want to talk about the International Cryptozoology Museum. Really a big fan of the International Cryptozoology Museum for a number of reasons, one of which is the fact that my book, Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist, is available for sale at the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine, but also because it is one of the greatest places to discover the world of anomalous research and anomalous things, especially cryptozoology. It's the only cryptozoological museum in the world. It opened in 2003 and contains a lot of really interesting items collected by Lauren Coleman, who is the director of the museum. Now, right now, they are undergoing some changes, and they're going to be moving to a larger location sometime next year. And they kind of need your financial assistance with that. And they are looking for some donations through the GoFundMe site. And you can get information from that at gofundme.com/ICM-Africa. And from there, you can read about all the perks and benefits that you can get from this donation. And it's awesome. I have a cast, and I got a T-shirt from the convention that just happened a couple of weeks ago down in St. Augustine, Florida. And other goodies, a lot of cool things you can get just by donating. So you're gonna get back in a number of different ways. You're gonna get some cool items, and you're also gonna know that you helped with the move of the world's only cryptozoological museum. It's a really good thing. It's a good thing to give back to this field towards something that you know is obviously going to make a difference out there. Give something bigger than what we are out there as well. And I also want to take this time to thank those people that are listening in, whether you're in the chat room or you're out somewhere else. If you're listening to this on an archive through iTunes or anywhere, I thank you for listening to this show. And I also want to thank those group members that are out there from ParanormalForum.net. Thanks to Debbie and her little motley crew there on that website. They're a great bunch of people, and you know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it right now. Message boards are an awesome way to have a good discussion, and they do a good job of corralling the conversations to make sure that they don't get out of control or people don't go in there and start trolling or causing trouble, and which sometimes affects message boards, because a message board, you know, I was thinking of this today. You have social media. You have Twitter. You have Facebook. You've had MySpace back in the past, but all of these are pretty much self-serving. These are your sites. This Facebook is your homepage. Twitter is your Twitter feed. But a message board, yes, you do have an avatar. Yes, you do have your own little page. But you're contributing to a society, a small society. And you're part of that society. And you're part, you're part of that culture that's being created right there in that little message board. You know, chat rooms are great. Chat rooms are especially good for something that we're doing tonight on the show. We're just talking. We're having conversations. People are listening to the show, but they're also having their own conversations. That's cool. I have no problem with that. I know sometimes some hosts get all upset if people hijack the conversation. I love it. And one of these nights, I was also thinking about this today. This is probably one of those kind of moments you have when, you know, when you're in the shower, you solve all the world problems. It's probably when I was thinking of this, that one of these nights I'm going to have just like an open chat on the forum. I'm going to let people ask me questions and I'll give you my honest answer. Talk about any kind of paranormal things whatsoever that's going on or any other topics or subjects. And we'll just see where the conversation takes us. But like I do every night, I have a lot of topics lined up for tonight. And to kind of round out what I was talking about message boards, again, it's a great thing to have your own little culture, and it that message board takes on a life of the people that contribute to it. And like I said, ParanormalForum.net has a great core group of people that really do a fantastic job of providing a lot of great information. It's really interesting. During the week when I'm doing my research for these stories, I'll look on the forum just to see what's going on. And they've already posted stories that I just saw pop up. So they're on top of it. They know what's going on in the paranormal. And they do a nightly chat around these radio shows that are on all these various networks all over the place. And they talk about what we're talking about. And they kind of critique things. And it inspires them to think about different things that are going on. So check it out, ParanormalForum.net. Once again, it's a great little thing to jump in there and to be a part of if you're interested in the paranormal and some strange things. And there's other things available on there as well. And one other thing I was involved with this past weekend was the Cleveland Ufology Project. This is a thing I could talk about probably this entire hour. What we talked about for 2.5 hours that night was disclosure. That was the theme, and we talked about the paradigm of the paranormal as from the government's perspective of how they're going to ever feel that we're capable and able of handling the truth of disclosure, and how do we change that paradigm of thought, and how do we move forward as a culture believing in UFOs and getting everyone on board with understanding that there is far more out there than what we're being told. And how do we crack that egg? How do we move forward? It was a great discussion. There was about 30 people in the room, all having a friendly conversation, taking their turns. You know, things did heat up a little bit. Some people give their 2 cents and other people give a quarter. That's just how it is. But it was a good time and I learned a lot. And it pushed me mentally to think about this subject matter a little bit further. And it would make a great theme for a radio show, I think, talking about not just disclosure, but how do we change the paradigm of thinking? How do we expand on the thought process behind the belief in UFOs, as well as how we go about exposing that, getting that information exposed from the government, and how the government can feel justified in exposing that to us? And that Cleveland Ufology Project meeting is every third Saturday in Parma, Ohio. If you're interested, there's a website, clevelandufo.com. You can check out more information about that group. It's the oldest UFO group in Ohio, and I'm pretty sure in the country. They've been around a long time, and they take great pride in that as well. Great information there as well. And speaking of great information, the last little thing I have here on my list is some great information that's going to be coming to you next week. Yes, obviously, during the Paranormal News Insider here on WCJV, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., there's going to be great information. But an hour after my show ends is when Paranormalities and Ponderings with host Frank Lee comes on. And next week, January 26th, I've agreed to come on the show to talk about a ton of subject matter, probably something that would probably take us a good 6 to 8 hours to talk about, but we're going to do the best we can to pick out the highlights. And I know I've already begun research for this show, digging up some information to provide to you guys, anyone who wants to listen to this. It's billed as the following. Join anomalous researcher, author, and host of the Paranormal News Insider, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, as we discuss how to properly apply science to paranormal research, how to validate data, and how to debunk hoaxes. Sounds simple. It's just three little things. But there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And each one of those three subjects I'm extremely passionate about. And I've spent a majority of my time here in the paranormal and anomalous research areas digging into. So I'm excited about that show. Don't forget, that's next week, right after, well, an hour after the Paranormal News Insider ends on January 26th. So without further ado, we're going to jump into the paranormal news for the week of January 19th, 2016. And it starts in England. Why not? We're going to start in Loch Ness, of all places. And you probably already know where this story is going if you've been paying attention to the news. I think this story actually just broke today. At least today was the first day that I've read about. And it's an interesting thing that I call the plot is deepening. A lot of times you hear the phrase, the plot is thickening. Well, in this case, the plot behind the legend of the Loch Ness Monster has deepened. Keith Stewart has found a crevice about 9 miles east of Inverness, and he has measured it with the state-of-the-art sonar equipment at 889 feet. Why is that significant? Well, Loch Ness was previously known to only be 813 feet deep. Interesting. Stewart operates a sightseeing vessel and has verified his sightings several times, yet does not know how long the crevice where he measured this finding is. He doesn't know really, no one knows like how long or continuous this thing is or whether or not it actually goes deeper. It is possible that an earthquake has caused an opening at the bottom of Loch Ness and that this 889-foot depth may not be the deepest part discovered. Loch Ness is part of a huge earthquake fault line that runs from Canada to Norway. So you may be wondering, where does a Loch Ness monster fit in with all of this? Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind is a place for the Loch Ness monster to hide. But what's also interesting is what Keith Stewart had to say about Nessie. Quote, "I wasn't really a believer of the monster beforehand, but 2 weeks ago, I got a sonar image of what looked to be a long object with a hump lying at the bottom. It wasn't there when I scanned the loch bed later." Unquote. So here we have somebody who is not a believer. Probably don't know if he ever had an opinion about it, but he went from a non-believer to a believer based on sonar data. And now his sonar data has discovered that the Loch Ness is actually deeper, over 77 feet deeper. And what is also interesting about the assumption about an earthquake causing the crevice is that in 2013, there was a 2.4 magnitude quake in the loch. Now, those of us who study cryptozoology and these stories know that 2014 is known as when Nessie disappeared for a whole year for the first time since 1925 from sighting reports. Many speculated that the monster had died off, but could this area have provided a new place for it to hide? Well, time will tell, as this new trench, which is now locally called Keith's Abyss, will get studied by others to determine how large and how deep this area of Loch Ness truly goes. And we also assume that people will be looking at this area a little harder to see whether or not they can find evidence of Nessie as well. So an interesting story that ties in a little history because, I mean, we're altering what we know about Loch Ness, how deep it actually is. And gives a little bit more credence to the possibility that the Loch Ness Monster may still be out there somewhere. And we're going to jump from that. We're going to stay in cryptozoology, but we're going to start to look at another story, another weird story that popped up during the week that was a little interesting here about a strange body that was found. I kind of had my idea as I was reading the story, and it kind of unfolded right in front of me. The person that posted this had the same idea I did before I even reached that part of the story. So a story recently appeared about a strange white-bodied creature found floating in a river in Paraguay. There was a lot of speculation about what the creature could be, and many locals felt that this could be a chupacabra, and others were concerned that it could be a human. Well, the creature did have human-like hands and feet and was also hairless, but it was measured at just over 3 feet long and did not have the body structure of a child. One of the major places this story has turned up was on the Crypto Crew website, helmed by investigator and researcher Thomas Markham. Markham speculates that this is in fact a monkey, more specifically a howler monkey. I traced the photographs through earlier stories and found that his hypothesis is more than likely true. The creature was found by volunteer firefighters in an open area of the Paranera in Carmen del Paraná in South Paraguay, which is near the Argentinian border. The Rio Paraná empties into the Ibera wetlands, known in Spanish as Esteros del Ibera, a wetlands area, which is the world's second largest freshwater reservoir. A video of men finding the body accompanied the earliest story I could find, which was posted on October 21st of 2015. In the video, it is pretty apparent that the creature is in fact a monkey of some type. Of the species of monkey found in Paraguay, it is more than likely the black howler monkey that fits the size and description of the body. And if you haven't seen the video, the YouTube video, I'll be posting that hopefully within the next couple of days throughout my social media outlets. And I've also tossed that into the chat room so you can check it out there as well. You can see that little body face down to the ground. It's pretty apparent that it's a monkey here. And so is that your monkey? Also have a picture of a howler monkey as well. And I'll throw that that linky-dinky there in the chat room. And you can it didn't load. But anyway, you can check that out and see whether or not that's your monkey or not. But an interesting story, and I do agree with the evaluation by Thomas Markham. He's an excellent researcher and investigator, and followed his work a little closer as of late due to some of the stuff that he's uncovered about different stories. And he does a fantastic job of doing research and digging into his stories before just posting stuff like a lot of other people do and just gloating about getting something out there as quickly as possible. So that's that. That's cryptid news for the week. And now we're going to jump into UFO news. And UFOs, I guess that's the subject matter tonight on ParanormalForum.net. They're talking UFOs. Great subject here. And it's an interesting thing that has just recently hit the news about a story that's kind of near and dear to me because it happened here in Ohio. Granted, it only happened when I think I was like 4 years old. But anyway, on August 15th, 1977, at 11:16 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, the Big Ear Radio Telescope in Delaware, Ohio, recorded what is now known as the WOW signal. Jerry R. Amon was working on the SETI project, which is short for Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which uses various satellites to search for signals in space, when he saw a surprising vertical column with the alphanumerical sequence 6EQUJ5 that represents 72 seconds worth of information gathered from the radio telescope. The alphanumeric code essentially describes the intensity variation of the signal, and it has been given two different values for its frequency, within the 1420 megahertz range, which puts it in the hydrogen line frequency. Well, what does all this mean for searching for extraterrestrials? Well, SETI believed that since hydrogen is the most common element in the universe, extraterrestrials might use that frequency to transmit a strong signal. The problem is, researchers have been unable to find the signal from the original source of the constellation Sagittarius near the Chi Sagittari star group. Antonio Paris, a professor of astronomy at the St. Petersburg College in Florida, feels that it is likely that the signal actually originated from one of two comets that were flying by at the time. Many researchers feel that since the signal has not been observed again from the same origin, that it must have been something passing through the area. James Bauer of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, is skeptical of this hypothesis since the comet would have had to release a significant amount of hydrogen to produce such a signal. Paris states that in order to rule out the comet, his hypothesis needs to be tested. Well, that's science 101. Comet 266P/Christensen will be back in that region on January 25th, 2017, and P2008Y2 on January 7th, 2018. Well, by studying their radio emission and how quickly they move in the sky, astronomers should be able to tell if it was really this that produced the wow signal. Some may think that Antonio Paris is just here to ruin the long-standing belief that this is a piece of leading evidence in the support of life outside the Earth. Well, in reality, Antonio Paris is not here to pee in the pool just to get to the bottom of the mystery. Paris is the founder and director of the Aerial Phenomena Investigation Team that is a worldwide effort to actively research and investigate UFO claims. In case you are wondering, the Big Ear Observatory was built from 1956 to 1961 and was first turned on in 1963. From 1973 to 1995, it was used by SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, to search for signals in space that may have been created by extraterrestrials. The observatory also conducted the Ohio Sky Survey, which collected extragalactic radio sources from 94% of the observable sky from that particular location. And the Big Ear was last used in 1997. While the Perkins Observatory still stands, the Ohio State Radio Observatory was disassembled in 1998 due to a variety of circumstances as the land was sold to local developers. And what's the biggest sad... I would think that the saddest thing about all this entire story, even if Antonio Paris does discover that one of these comets, or maybe even a combination of these comets, since there's some disparity as to the actual frequency of the wow signal, even if he is to discover that these comets were responsible for the wow signal and it goes away as a piece of great UFO history, that's not even the most disappointing thing. To me, the most disappointing thing is that the area where this historic signal was detected, the Ohio State Radio Observatory, or the Big Ear, as they called it, they had a lot of other nicknames for it, it's gone. And it's now part of a golf course. How embarrassing. Well, that's how we move forward, I guess. And you know, doing this story, I researched actually going to the Perkins Observatory and kind of doing a little research. And I may end up, if the weather holds up, might actually be heading out there later on this week to check out the Perkins Observatory. But it's unfortunate, though, that the actual radio telescope, or actually it was just kind of like a cement bunker, basically, where a signal would come down. It was reflected to a dish. That area is it's gone. It's sad. Where the wow signal was discovered is now a golf course. Really sad, but that I guess that's just how things move. And what can you do but celebrate the history of things like this? So with that, that's it for UFO talk for this week. And a reminder that if you want to get information on what I'm doing or what's going on with the Paranormal News Insider, with the show, you can follow me pretty much anywhere and everywhere, except for when I leave my house and go to work. That would be a little spooky. But I'm on Google Plus, Paranews Insider. I'm on Facebook, Paranews Insider. I'm on Twitter, at Paranews Insider. Good grief, I'm everywhere. Social media is the big monster, but you have to feed it in order to maintain what you're doing. It's a necessary evil out there to continue to push your show. If you're hosting a radio show or you're doing anything out there, people need to find out where they can get information, and people use different areas of information. Facebook was great until they started taking away your ability to reach whomever you want, and a lot of people are slowly gravitating towards Google Plus, which, you know, how long until that's taken over by those the monsters that run Google and different things that do their things their way. But nonetheless, that's where I'm at right now, Google Plus and on Twitter, as well as on Facebook. And as far as the show is concerned, Paranormal News Insider, usually upload the next day on my Podbean account, pni.podbean.com, and you can listen to the archive show the following day. I usually post that on Wednesdays. And just, you know why I do it? Because I want you to listen to the live show. Get into the chat room. Meet Dita. She'll take care of you in the chat room. She's awesome. But the show is also available on Mixcloud directly after the show is pretty much over. You can find it on Mixcloud if you missed it and you want to listen in to what I had to say. You can catch it there as well. Lots of fun. I try to get this thing out as many different places as I can. It's also on iTunes. And I know from looking at statistics, which is it's fun and it's also frustrating because you want to figure things out, that there are a lot of people out there listening to the show through Apple products. So I appreciate anybody out there that's listening to this through iTunes or any other Apple product. Much appreciated. As well as, you know, I appreciate everybody, obviously, that listens to the show, whether you're in the chat room live or listening to this as an archived show. So, enough of that. We're going to talk some strange sounds. Yes, strange sounds. It seems like strange booms every year really pick up in January. I don't know why. I think part of the reason is we've talked about these stories week in, week out on the Paranormal News Insider, and they've gained a lot of traction on a lot of different websites. People are talking about all these strange sounds, and there's lists. I think it was last week where I talked through an entire list of strange sounds that were occurring pretty much all over the United States and the world that are happening everywhere. And most of these don't have a logical explanation, although a lot of them do seem to have logical explanations. And one of those explanations is called frostquakes. And I forgot the term, but I had to look it up because frostquakes happen all the time. This isn't something that just started occurring this year. And it's been used to explain these strange sounds heard all over the place over the last course of however many years that they've really been covered by paranormal news outlets. And a second term for frostquake is cryocism. And like I said, I'd forgotten what that term was. I knew there was a weird term out there. It's cryocism. And you can look that up and read all about it on Wikipedia and other sources. And there's also a lot of cool videos you can watch on YouTube that show examples and or videos, obviously videos with sound, that show and you can hear cryocisms or frostquakes happening. I think most of them are on the water, which is one way that they are generated. But some of the louder and stranger ones happen actually over land, which is creepy and kooky. But I do think that a lot of these strange sounds that are going on all over the world are actually created by these frostquakes, which is essentially temperature changes in the ground that create expansion that you know, deep down in the earth sometimes, or even on surface levels, can create these loud booms, very similar to earthquakes, but are essentially localized. And they're, for some reason, I don't know why they can't get evidence of where frostquakes happen. The seismic equipment apparently isn't sensitive enough to generate a reading on a frostquake or cryoseism to determine exactly where they're happening. But I do think that, again, a lot of these are created by these frostquakes. And I'm not sure if this next story I'm going to cover is also about that. But mystery booms are being reported in Fairlawn, New Jersey. And no one can seem to agree on what the cause is, let alone what it sounds like. And that sounds weird. They can't even agree on what the actual sound is. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. But unfortunately, that's kind of what's happening right now down in New Jersey. But before I jump with both feet into that story and we get into the strange sounds heard all over the place, I want to remind you that you're listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting out of Youngstown, New York. And this is the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And, well, we're here on WCJV. And also, after I'm done tonight, an hour after that, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Hawaiian time. And if you're in Bermuda, yes, Bermuda, if you're listening to the show from there, I envy you. And however, the show will be on at 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. on Wednesday in London. That show is Frank Lee's Paranormalities and Ponderings. Tonight, Frank Lee will talk with the husband and wife dynamic duo of the paranormal, paranormal investigators, host of Sit, Chat, and Laugh with the Lynches on Z-Talk Radio, and founders of Hindsight Paranormal, Jay and Teresa Lynch, tonight on Paranormalities and Ponderings radio show here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting at www.wcjv-db.com. I had to count how many W's I said. Sometimes I say four W's for some strange reason. I don't know. Maybe I'm inventing something here on the internet. I don't know. But anyway, it's going to be a great show tonight. And don't forget about next week when I'm the guest once again on Paranormalities and Pondering. So with that being said, we're going to jump back to strange sounds in New Jersey. Mystery booms, again, are being reported in Fairlawn, New Jersey. And like I said, no one can seem to agree on what the cause is, let alone what the, what it sounds like. And if you've seen the video, it's kind of funny how they try to describe the sound. And over the last week, numerous reports flooded in about the strange sounds that have been described as cannons, a garbage truck, and in an interview was described as push, 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 and grr, grr, grr. That's direct quotes. So I don't know if someone was filling their tires at a gas station or there's a bear on the loose. One of these two things sounds like it's happening here. Residents have reported the noise during the night from as early as 6 p.m. to as late as 2 a.m. So I guess these strange booms have a curfew. Residents have offered a lot of speculation, but authorities are finding a lot of dead ends. Some residents thought that the sounds were coming from the Pacific Gas and Electric plant across the river from the area where the sounds were reported. However, the mayor, John Cosgrove, confirmed with the PG&E that the sounds were not coming from the plant. When asked what residents felt could be the cause, Cosgrove replied, quote, "I've had everything from people telling me about fireworks to aliens," unquote. Whoops, never use the word aliens. We'll talk about that in a second as to why you never use the word aliens in any kind of interview when you're talking about something strange. As of last Friday, the Fairlawn Police Department stated they still have no leads on the noise, and the mayor's office said that until it is reported again, they will more than likely be unable to find the cause. Meanwhile, the storyline of the use of the word aliens has begun to take on a life of its own on paranormal-themed websites. Many people are now speculating that aliens are in fact behind the noises, and rumors are that they are National Guard or military is moving its way into the area just in case. Huh. Well, all I can say about that is it's not true. The police department did say that they were beefing up patrols just in case someone is up to no good in regards to these sounds, such as fireworks or other weird things that they're not supposed to be doing. But this has nothing to do with aliens, only concerned citizens. And while I watched various websites today about the area for updates, there were a number of schools in that area that had bomb threats, so that focus has gone from these strange booms to a little bit more pressing issues with the community at hand. So no updates on that story. Unfortunately, I'd hoped to have a little bit more information about what was going on out there in New Jersey tonight, but unfortunately not. And it's unfortunate because there's something going on. And, you know, my thought is that it's more than likely going to be explainable. And how can I say that? I run a paranormal show. I should be talking about it's going to be aliens. It's going to be aliens. But no, I think it's something logical. And whether it's frost quakes or cryoseisms, I don't know. But it's pretty cold out there in New Jersey as well. It's pretty freezing here today here in Ohio. Check that temperature right now. Yeah, it's a blustery 11 degrees where I sit right now. Not very warm at all. And it could be, like I said, it could be frost quakes, cryoseisms. But I think it's kind of weird how it's kind of bounced around. There's no real center of to where these sounds are, and I do think that there will be a logical explanation. But the longer that we go without anybody reporting it, is going to make it a little bit more difficult to find an actual solution to the story. And see, I missed something here. I wanted to talk. Talking about the International Cryptozoology Convention that happened earlier this year in January in St. Augustine, Florida. I don't see the date in front of me here, but it was 3 days, and it was during the week, which is, like I said before, it's extremely rare to have an event like that happen during the week. It was January 4th through the 6th in St. Augustine, Florida, which would have been Monday through Wednesday. And Wednesday was a half day. And during that half day, there was an announcement at the beginning of the day. Lauren Coleman actually opened with an announcement of the formation of the International Cryptozoology Society, also known as ICS, which will be headed up by Dr. LeBlanc as the president and an advisory panel. Now, there's really no other information as of yet. It remains to be seen what's going to be happening with this new International Cryptozoology Society. And you may say, well, what's the big deal about it? Well, it's intended to be a long-hoped-for resurrection of the principles of scientific study, followed by the defunct International Society of Cryptozoology, known as ISC. And with that, Lauren Coleman has also made it an announcement. I believe it was late 2004. It was actually one of the top 10 paranormal news stories of that year, that there is a new journal coming out, the International Cryptozoology Museum Journal, that was due out for – it was actually projected for this year. Sometime, or actually last year, I should say, 2015, but it never materialized. I kind of have my thought process as to why that might have happened, but maybe there's not enough good submissions. But I would hope that there is some people out there doing some really good science out in the cryptozoological field that would be worthy enough to have their information published in a journal. And a journal with the formation of a cryptozoological society that's geared toward using scientific principles of study, creating the formation of essentially standards and protocols on how to conduct research and investigations is long overdue for the field of cryptozoology and other fields out there as well. I know a lot of ghost organizations have tried this in the past, and I'm part of Paranexus Anomalous Research Association as the executive director, and we also have some very solid standards called the CIPRS standards, which is a worldwide organization geared towards just providing standards and protocols for investigators out there on in the not just specifically the ghost field, but just the investigation of client-based investigations. Where it seems to me that this new International Cryptozoology Society is obviously going to be focused a little bit more on cryptozoology methods and protocols behind studying that. So that's an exciting announcement. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of information available at this time. I just read the story a few days ago and wanted to include it during the Paranormal News Insider to talk about it a little bit more in depth. But I was hoping that a little bit more information would provide itself, yet that hasn't happened. So before we go too much further, I do want to – I did promise that we'd talk a little bit about the X-Files. And the X-Files are actually the book of the week this week. Now, you may wonder if you've been involved at all with the X-Files. You may wonder, well, what book? Because there's like literally 30 books about the X-Files. And some are fiction and some are nonfiction. Essentially, this is a hard decision because I do have quite a few books on the X-Files because, I mean, come on. We didn't have the internet back in the mid-1990s to share this information and data with. But there's two basic series of books that I want to talk about, and one of them is the Book of the Unexplained. Now, there was, I believe, two volumes of this. I only have the first volume. But it's the Book of the Unexplained really digs into not so much the show itself, but some of the reports that are talked about within the show. They do dig into different categories, and it's kind of looked at these different things that tie into the show that have a paranormal theme, different paranoias and different belief systems, human enigmas, and all kinds of really interesting things that tie in paranormally with the show, which I thought was really interesting. I know for myself at the time, I was just fresh into the paranormal arena. I had just created my own paranormal group in 1996. And as far as watching the show, I honestly was not a fan in the beginning of it. I know that's shocking to say, that was not a huge X-Files fan out of the gate. I think it was on a couple of years before I started watching some of the repeated episodes, and I got involved into it and started to watch it whatever night it was on. Weekly, I got to the point where I became obsessed with the show and wanted to know as much as I could, and I started buying various books, more the nonfiction books tied in with the television show that had a lot to do with the subject matter that they were talking about, as well as the TV show itself, because I, you know, like I said, I'd missed a little bit of information because I missed out on some episodes, and it wasn't like we had Netflix back then. We couldn't just pick up in the middle of a series and watch the entire season for $9.95 a month and catch up on everything. I do think that I ended up buying the VHS tapes of different seasons to catch up, finally catch up on watching episodes from, you know, the pilot all the way through the end of one season through the next. So that was a process and probably took me all the way up until season 4 or 5 to really catch up with the entire series and to where I felt like I'd seen everything and I could continue to watch the show. And then kind of got a little wacky there after season 7. And as we know, season 9 was the last season. And they're back this year with season 10, but not to jump too far ahead. So talking about the other series of books, ones that talked about the show itself or another series of books. And this one is kind of weird because they kind of stopped toward the end of the series. There was – I believe there was a number of these books. There was let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 – well, 6 volumes The first one was Trust No One. The Truth Is Out There, The Official Guide to the X-Files, which is the book I have in my hands. The second book was Trust No One, The Official Guide to the X-Files. That was the second volume and dealt with Season 3. The first volume dealt with Season 1 and Season 2. The third book was Resist or Serve, The Official Guide, Volume 4, which covered Season 5. Then the End and the Beginning, which was Volume 5, covered Season 6. And All Things was Volume 6, which covered Season 7. And there was two more seasons, Season 8 and Season 9. But I never saw any books come out about that. But that was in the times when the internet was going full steam. So there was more than likely nothing really going on book-wise, as everything was really pouring on the internet. There was a ton of X-Files pages, web pages with a ton of information. I think people actually disseminated these books onto a bunch of websites before cease and desists were sent their way. Because I do remember reading the same information on websites there a while ago about the X-Files. And these official guides to the X-Files that I just mentioned, and I put the a link there in the chat room for the first book in the volume. These were by far the greatest things that I read about the X-Files, because it dug into the actual TV show episode by episode, depending upon which volume you had. It covered which season you had. And it talked about each episode, and it basically was like as if somebody was transcribing the episode to you. And it also had some behind-the-scenes information after each episode here. It would give you information about the tagline if it changed. You know, we're used to seeing the same thing, but sometimes it changed. As in one episode, the tagline said, "Everything dies." And this is when the alien bounty hunter says to Mulder in a parking lot as he is tracked down Jeremiah Smith. So we always watch that at the end. If it said that it didn't say the truth is out there, you're always excited to see something different. And it did happen a handful of times. But the books, this book also covers, this series of books also says a lot of some of the behind the scenes things as well. And it also recaps previous seasons as well. And it's sad because they stopped doing the books before the end of the season, or the end of the series, I should say. It would be nice to have everything in book form, and now all we have is Netflix, where you can catch up on it. And I'm proud to say that today I finally listened to the last – or I should say watched the last two-part episode of the series finale of Season 9. And if you're not aware, if you've lived under a rock, the X-Files is returning for the first time in 14 years. This Sunday on January 24th. Now, the final episode aired on May 19th, 2002. That's a long time ago. How long ago? Well, it will be 13 years, 8 months, and 5 days between episodes of The X-Files. But who's counting? Well, I'm counting, obviously. But Season 10 will debut Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. So cancel your plans if you have any. You won't have to wait long for the second episode. That's going to take place on Monday night, a little earlier than the first episode. That'll take place on 8 p.m. Eastern, and the remaining episodes will also be shown on Mondays at 8 p.m. And so it's a six episode season over the course of 5 weeks. So February 1st. Will be the third episode. February 8th, 15th, and February 22nd will be the final show of The X-Files. And it's interesting the way they've done this. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody out there, but they've kind of always had a pattern where you had the ongoing lingering story sprinkled and salt and peppered throughout the seasons, sometimes only at the beginning and the end, and sometimes during the cliffhanger episodes in the middle. And the rest of the seasons were what they called Monsters of the Week, which I love the Monsters of the Week episodes. Some people loved them. Some people hated them. Some people were indifferent. I kind of got a little tired of some of the conspiracy talk because it kind of took away from what I thought was was the core information of what the show was all about, which was the paranormal, discovering answers, doing the research, and having it all snatched out of your hands at the last second. But I guess government conspiracies, that sells advertising. And it was a great show, and it's exciting to have it back for this six episode series. And the mythology is going to be the first and last episode where Monsters of the Week will take over the middle four. So it's going to be interesting to watch this season. And if you're only into the mythology, well, fine, just watch the first and last episodes. But I know I'll be tuning in for each and every episode throughout. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great if you like the X-Files at all. Again, January 24th, 10 p.m. is the first episode of Season 10. And the following night at 8 p.m., well, don't trust me. Check your local listings. The second episode will be on Monday at 8 p.m., as will the rest of the following episodes. So what else is in the news? I have no idea. Well, there was a little short news story I read. It's got a really cool picture of Zach Bagans. I really wasn't going to get too far into this story, but it's kind of a funny story. And it makes you think, too, you know, how big this story was a couple of years ago about the Demon House. I'm sure you've heard of that in Indiana, that made big headlines because of the person who owned it was having all sorts of demon problems and claimed there was a number of demons living in the home, causing all kinds of havoc in the home. And Zach Bagans stepped up and said, I want to buy that house. He also claimed to be doing a documentary called The Demon House that was supposedly wrapped up filming last year and was going to be shown on some network. Nothing. Crickets have happened since the announcement last year. There's been no announcements as to what's going on with this Demon House film. There was a lot of obvious internal conflict with Nick Groff leaving the group there a while back as well. It's supposedly going to take place sometime this year. Going to be a really good popcorn flick, I think. It's going to keep you in stitches, laughing in the aisles if it's in the movies, which I don't think it's going to be in the movies. You'll see it at home if it ever comes. But supposedly it's done filming, and whenever this thing takes place, it'll be laughable at best. I honestly have to say, and I think part of the problem is this latest show with the demon, the demonic possession that was shown on TV, the Exorcism Live, that went over like a lead balloon. And maybe Zach got the idea that maybe this is not going to be working out to his advantage to have this show on the air after all. But he is Zach Bagans. He's got the look. He's got the hair. So who knows? This show may take place after all. We'll see. Maybe they have to digitally edit Nick Groff out of the series. I don't know. But we'll find out whenever this show takes place. We'll talk about it here on the Paranormal News Insider. And again, I want to remind you, if you have any information about paranormal conferences or conventions, I don't think I checked my email today, but if you have any information about paranormal conferences or conventions, you can let me know at insider@paranewsinsider.com or go to paranewsinsider.com. And click on the contact tab at the top, and you can get a hold of me and let me know that you have something going on out there in paranormal land as far as a conference or convention. And hey, if you need a speaker, I'm willing, unless it's out in Yuma, Arizona, which is where the next conference takes place in the ghost world, and that takes place February 5th through the 7th in Yuma, Arizona, the Yuma Prison Paracon 2016. There's also the American Hauntings Annual Dead of Winter Festival, February 6th in Decatur, Illinois. That one is free. So if you're in the Decatur, Illinois area on February 6th, you can sneak in with no admission. Also is the Spirit Cruise 2, the Voodoo Voyage. And that's February 10th through the 14th. That's the land portion of this event. And February 14th through the 21st is the sea portion of this cruise. And that sets sail out of New Orleans, Louisiana. Then we jump all the way to March. The Gift of Light Expo takes place March 12th through the 13th in Columbus, Ohio. The 5th Annual Texas Paranormal Unity Fest, March 19th, in Glen Rose, Texas. Been there before. They have a nice dinosaur park there in Glen Rose. That's pretty much it for up to March. Now, I do have to update some UFO conferences. Pretty lacking in that area. I do know that there's a whole bunch coming out. The Ohio MUFON conference just got changed. I just heard about this change during the meeting I had with the Cleveland Ufology Project over the weekend. So I'm going to have to get that on the site and updated. And the next one I have on the list is the end of next month, and that's the International UFO Congress in Scottsdale, Arizona, February 17th through the 21st. And there will be some Cleveland Ufology Project members in attendance for that event, and they're going to report back to the group in March. So that'll be exciting stuff. And as far as cryptozoology, I don't have anything on the list up until May. I also got to update the Mothman Festival. I don't see it on my list here, but there's a number of other events. I really got to seriously get this thing updated. My goodness. But in May, May 6th through the 8th, in Farmington, Pennsylvania, I'll be speaking at the 2016 Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure with host Eric Altman. Altman's a very, very awesome researcher and investigator out of Pennsylvania. And he's invited me down to speak. And also speaking at that event will be Steve Coles, who's host of Squatch Detective Radio, as well as Stan Gordon, who is a legendary investigator and researcher from Pennsylvania as well. So it's going to be good times. We're going to be doing night hikes and day hikes in areas that are well-known sites for Bigfoot traffic. And that area of the state is also known for some interesting UFO phenomena as well. It's very close to where the Kecksburg incident happened as well. And maybe we'll get Jim Mallard down there with a backpack. That'll be interesting. That, again, takes place May 6th through the 8th in Farmington, Pennsylvania, the 2016 Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. The cost of the event is only $20 to get to listen to the viewers, but you're going to have to get your camping site separately. I've already got my site picked out, so you can pitch a tent next to me. Well, maybe I shouldn't say the words pitch a tent. But anyway, following that, a few days later, I'm going to be appearing at the Westerville Public Library in Westerville, Ohio. Now, that's northeast of Columbus, Ohio. It's a library that I've visited a number of times. I think I've been there 8 times now. This will be the 8th year in a row that I've been to this library. It's the only library in Ohio that has my books in it. Hopefully, I like to brag about that, but hopefully I can get a lot more to carry my books. Hopefully not through donations, but either way, to have your book in a library, I think is an awesome thing to say that your book is out there for people to pick up and read for a few weeks at a time for free. I think that's awesome. But I'll be speaking on cryptozoology on May 12th in Westerville, Ohio, at the Westerville Public Library. That's going to be a lot of fun. I love that library, and I love talking to people about different subjects. And this is the first time that I've talked about cryptozoology down there. The last 7 years have all been about ghosts in various forms, whether it's through the media or it's about belief systems or it's about the E4 method of client-based investigation or anything like that at all. So it's going to be good times. And if you're in the area, highly recommend you get down there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So don't forget the X-Files this weekend. And if you did miss the two movies, there were two movies. One happened between good grief, I can't remember which seasons, but it happened between the two seasons. It was a cinematic release, I want to believe. The second movie was kind of a standalone movie, kind of a creepy movie if you've seen it. It pretty much, I don't think, is going to have anything to do with season 10. I don't know if they're going to pick up, because the only thing you really got out of that second movie was the fact that Agent Mulder's charges were dropped. and he helped the FBI with a creepy investigation. But we'll find all that information out on Sunday night. I can't wait. If you're trying to get a hold of me Sunday night, forget it. You know where I'm going to be. And also, don't forget about next week, Paranormalities and Ponderings. Obviously, I'll be talking about that next week as well. It's going to be a great show on research, and you're going to learn a lot. And I'm going to bring it to the table for you guys, and you're going to learn a lot of stuff, just like you do every night here on the Paranormal News Insider. And just to kind of double back and circle my wagons when I'm talking about the conferences and conventions. Again, if you have any information about any event and you'd like to hear it here, as well as see it on the website, I can't do everything. I try as I can. I spend a lot of time putting together this show, and I do try to update the website. I do look for conferences and conventions, but I do rely on listeners out there, and I do get a lot of great emails from people all over the country that put on these events. And I do my best to honor that because, again, I do think that these conferences and conventions are well worth their time. And sometimes I get a little upset because I like to speak at these events, and I have a lot to say, and I have a lot of knowledge and experience that I'd like to pass on to people. And sometimes I just feel that they only care about people who are on TV, or they care about their best friends. And it hurts sometimes because I really like to speak. But on that note, I have been invited to be a speaker at a number of events without even asking, such as the 2016 Pennsylvania Bigfoot camp out here. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so I shouldn't get too upset about it. It is a lot of fun to get out there and to go to these conferences and conventions, to network with people. You're going to meet new people. You're going to learn a lot of great things. No matter how many people show up to these things, just getting around these other researchers and investigators, even if you're just a fan and you pay a ticket to get in, trust me, it's well worth it. Unless you're paying $500 to go see Zach Bagans and his hair, it's worth it to go in and to meet some of these people and to learn from them. So I highly recommend it. Check out the list. And again, if you have any information about any event and would like to hear it here, let me know at insider@paranewsinsider.com. And you can find that information by going to paranewsinsider.com and clicking on the events tab at the top. And as always, I want to thank everybody for listening to tonight's show. Big thanks to Cindy, my producer, and to Dita, of course, every week for helping me out in the chat room. And the folks at ParanormalForum.net and people in all over the world that are listening to this show. If you're listening to anywhere but the United States, I really appreciate it. I know you're out there. I see the stats. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's great. It's a really big motivator when I see different countries or different people that are downloading the show, especially hearing from you guys. What can I do better? I'm cool with that. You want to tell me what I can do? Great. I'm willing to listen to any kind of critique or anything. But in the meantime, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, and the hair standing on the back of your neck. And always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.